and there's nobody, nothing, nothing. No one can compare to our God. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Amy. You be, go ahead and be seated also. Trust everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving and counting our many blessings and same time stuffing your face, if you're like me. My wife cooks for 30 people, my most favorite dishes. You talking tongues yet today? Have you? Have you talked in tongues yet today? Good. Deuteronomy 29, I've mentioned it before. 29, it's one of my favorite verses of Scripture where I'm about to say something that maybe is not necessarily common knowledge. So when we learn new things, then we're held responsible for what we learn. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So secret things that have not been revealed to us, how can we be held responsible for what those secret things are? But when mysteries and when things are explained to us in using Scripture and in the prophetic realm of today, in the atmosphere in which we live in, we're given the choice of, when you receive something, whether you're going to receive it and believe it, or whether you're going to deny it and choose to not believe it. Either way, it's a choice that you have to make. And by not choosing, obviously, you're choosing. And so I had been reminded of something that I had seen when I was studying the name Jesus in the Greek. And I'd forgotten it. It had been maybe a couple years since I'd had seen it, and it's, I'm going to be speaking from Matthew 27, 16 and 17. But it was in my Bible reading in the NLT version, NLT and the CSB, and those two scriptures have a star, which they're going to notify you of, another rendering of that could be. But I don't even need that because I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I just whipped out 7 translations that actually say it right. So I'm going to read those. You can look at KJV. I'm going to read it. I'll start with the NET version, the New English Translation. At that time, because you wonder, why Barabbas? Have you ever wondered that? Why did he specifically choose this one criminal when I'm sure there were as many criminals to choose from? But Pilate, In his way of being real cynical and really what is truth, his comments he makes, and the fact that we know in Luke 13 that he has no problem shedding blood. So Galileans are sacrificing, and he spills their blood with their sacrifices. In other words, he kills them as they're sacrificing for being in rebellion. So Pilate has zero empathy when it comes to what he's dealing with here when he's talking to Jesus, the Son of Man. And he's very skeptical, and he sees right through what the Jews are doing. And so here in Matthew, and it's only in Matthew, and not in any other Gospels, and it's only in these two verses, Matthew written to the Jews, talking about Jesus Christ, who was the son of Abraham, the son of David. In other words, he's the covenant God of the Jews. Here I'm going to describe what he does. And so Matthew is really pointed to the Jewish people, proving who Jesus was. And so 27, 16, 17, I'm going to go ahead and read numerous ones here for you just so you can get a flavor of what we're talking about here. The NET version, at that time they had in custody a notorious prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So after they had assembled, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Christ?" Interesting, huh? Imagine not many people have heard that before. I don't like the NIV, but they got it right. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Messiah?" have this Mount's reverse interlinear New Testament. At that time, they were holding in custody a notorious prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate said to them, and you can just feel the cynicism behind what he's saying here. Which one do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who was called Messiah? And so the Jews literally were given a choice between Jesus Bar slash Abba. So Jesus, son of the father, that's how Barabbas' name is in the Jewish language. Or Jesus, who is called the Christ. So not only did they deny their Messiah, they chose someone by the exact same name with roughly the same meaning. What Jesus had come to earth to and proclaimed that he was the Son of God, that he spoke nothing but what his Father spoke. We have Jesus Barabbas, who is Jesus, son of the Father, and he's chosen. And it appears to me that there's choices we make every single day that are just like this one here. There's three different levels to it as I see it, as I was looking at this and God was speaking to me, to my spirit. And the first one just being, Who do you say that I am? And knowing who Jesus was to the disciples, and then who this Jesus here, Barabbas, who is a revolutionary accused of murder or being with people that murdered, is brought out, and Pilate's playing a game with these Jewish people. Which Jesus do you want? Wow. And without hesitation, they choose Jesus Barabbas, without hesitation. They say, let him live. And you see this sarcasm in how it's going, just because he says in verse 18 in the KJV that Pilate, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He saw right through the religious Jews. You know, there's a spirit in this age right now that almost in a mocking tone is asking us, who do you want? You want Jesus Barabbas? Looks just like you? Or do you want Jesus, which is called the Christ? It's real funny because everything that they're accusing Jesus of right here, Barabbas is guilty of. They're accusing him of trying to overthrow the government, they're basically accusing him of being a revolutionary, insurrectionist. And so when he pulls out this Barabbas, he's saying, like, this is the guy that actually does what you guys are accusing him of, or accusing Jesus, the Son of Man, here of. Which one do you want? Here, let me make fun of you guys. I know what your pick's going to be. And so I'm just setting you up in almost in a mock. How could it not be mocking? You ever heard of Jesus Barabbas? He's number two in the Greek letter of Jesus. He's number two in the definitions. Son of the Father. That's all they know about him. They say he could have been a rabbi's son, could have been blah, blah, blah. But he was a man, obviously. Do we put on our Savior, do we accuse him of things that are just like they were accusing Jesus here, the Son of Man, of that aren't true? Do we accuse him of treating us wrong, or do we accuse him of having human traits, putting those kind of weaknesses on somebody that is the exact opposite of that? Like, what do we see when we're picking, or who are we picking here? Because for us now, if we're going to pick Jesus, which is called the Christ, that means the cross. That means the cross now, with Jesus, the Son of the Father, Jesus Barabbas, We can continue to worship what we love to worship. That's flesh. And in this dimension that we're getting taken to, choosing Jesus, which is called the Christ, is just going to lead to complete failure. Because now the question is it going to be Jesus Christ or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Because like I said, we love to worship human flesh. And so Jesus, which is called the Christ, is in flesh. He's robed in it right there. The question's being asked to them, but to us now, who are we going to choose, Jesus Christ or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Because Jesus, which is called the Christ, has you on the cross. We have to be there. We hate doing that, and it's an everyday choice. And so that's why this decision is being made every day for us. So getting on the cross is literally how we die out to our old selves, right? But just Jesus the Christ, then we're stuck there. Whereas Jesus Christ, the life-giving spirit, we are made alive through the miracle of resurrection, glorification, power in his body. But who do we identify our Savior as? Is he a man just like us? Do we have an easier time looking at him, hanging out with his disciples, than we do him in a dimension that you can't see, which is the dimension of right now? The dimension that he said, blessed are they that haven't seen but will believe. That's our dimension right now. But do we continue to put him in human form? Do we continually make him back out to be the guy that was always performing miracles and doing great things but never accepted? That, so we can say he suffered human weakness so we can make excuses for our human weakness, which is really flesh, right? A lot of my frailties are just I have zero discipline in some areas. So I could call them frailties, but they're actually my lack of even being disciplined. But I'll say it's a weakness, or I'll define it any which way. And it's easier when we make him human to make those mistakes more acceptable. But we're not dealing with a human body. We no longer have the rabbi or the whatever they would call him, the Christ. We no longer have him walking here in human form, doing and performing and saying what he did. It's a spiritual relationship. And I wonder how many times I go back to the safety zone of Jesus, which is called the Christ. And I start to understand him from the same eyes that Peter and John and James and everybody else tried to understand him from and never could. Or I limit him without even meaning to limit him because I put him in flesh just like me. And I can't make anyone superhuman. I can't make, when I have somebody that I worship that's flesh, that I'm seeing in flesh, not in dominion and high above all principality and power, and as a life-giving spirit, when I continually go back to those 3.5 years, I limit myself, I limit God, I limit my church. Every aspect of my life is limited when I put human flesh continually on my God. It's almost a shocker, isn't it? What a devious man he was, obviously, huh? Potiphar. But it's amazing how he could be so right on with these Jews. So in a mocking way, he gets the Jesus Barabbas, probably the only Jesus criminal in the jail, and he offers him in the place of their king. What a transfer that takes place right then to us, obviously. But the question is being asked of us continually. Continually, are we going to put ourselves on the cross, right? Are we going to allow our dead man to stay dead? Continually, are we going to live in the Spirit and not stay dead? You know, that baptism is a supernatural, a movement that's death, burial, resurrection all in one. If it was death, burial, we'd just leave you down there until there's no more bubbles. Right? If you needed a Holy Ghost for resurrection power, you're hating life down. Unless God can do a miracle, I'll let one of you guys can try it out. But think about that, right? Baptism, death, burial, resurrection. Supernatural work. But it's alive in a spirit. Alive in a spirit that I'm afraid for me, I put in human clothes, and I put all the limitations that I have, or I give him excuses, or I make it a work thing, or I make it like what the secret is, the secret sauce, and I'm continually, without even realizing it, I'm continually claiming Jesus Barabbas instead of Jesus which is called the Christ. How quickly can I start worshiping something that is made from human hands? How quickly do I worship myself? My abilities, I can do it. We're making a choice just like these Jews made, which is almost unbelievable, and it's just a slap in the face, and so many translations have it, bam, 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 except for the KJV. But when you read it, in verse 17, you see that why he says, or Jesus, which is called the Christ, because obviously he had said Jesus Barabbas. He's given them the two choices there. They didn't choose to put it there, but in every other translation, it's either notified or, you know, with the star, or it's actually written in there, the question, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ. And now for us, Jesus, which is called the Christ or Jesus Christ. Transition of revelation. The name changes as revelation changes, yeah. Dimensions change, yes. And now we are in a spiritual dimension that we can't do but flesh and blood, even with the flesh and blood God. So what's that mean when I am choosing that? I don't know how to define that. When I say Jesus, which is called the Christ, instead of Jesus Christ, I'm going to trust in the arm of flesh, or I'm going to trust in man. Am I saying the same thing here? Is he seeing it the same way? When I don't stay dead and alive in him, is that when we start to deny the power thereof? What choices are we making we don't know we realize we're even making? What questions are we answering by saying, I'm trusting in the flesh instead of the spirit by how we react to things? Simple little message here. And it's straight up from this point forward, every day we need to choose Jesus Christ. Every single day we're getting there on the cross. We're dying with him and living supernaturally through his resurrection power. Being led by the Spirit, not relying at all on flesh. And for sure, when we're saying there's no one like Jehovah, not thinking of somebody that's walking on the water, somebody that's breaking up loaves of bread. We're not thinking of somebody that was denied by family, denied by his hometown, disbelieved. No, we're in a completed, finished work. What's he ask of us? Praise. What's he ask of us? Worship. What's he ask of us? Obedience. Yes. Obedience is salvation. We know that, right? We know that it's baptized, completely immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and being baptized into his body. That is a black and white. There's no question that exactly what you have to do to be saved. Acts 5 talks about everyone who obeys him, he gives the Holy Ghost to. It's a gift. So if you obey him or you say you do, you should have the Holy Ghost. But that's the salvation message. But continually we choose to stay dead, to stay in him, and continually we're making that choice. Jesus Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ, Jesus Christ, or the man, Jesus, which is called the Christ on this side of Calvary. So, as we stand, it's really simple. It's really simply the revelation of that's what we choose every day from this point forward in this dimension, or we fail.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
What an embarrassment for the Jewish people, huh? Is that the spirit of this world now? Or give us Jesus Barabbas. We want that dude. Yeah. Whom do you choose? Well, that's a question. It's an eternal question, isn't it? Let's come up. Let's go ahead and just... maybe let that sink in a little bit. And I hate crucifying my flesh, so it's a lot easier sometimes to just worship it. I think worshiping it is knowing how to do it better than God does. No, this is how we do it. No, this is how you do this. I think that's when we start to worship flesh sometimes. Every day, guys, Jesus Christ. And it's a spirit relationship, and we've got to be dead. Or we're saying just by our actions, who we choose. Lord Jesus Christ.